Is anger your friend? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Dana Joyner, who found that anger empowered her from being a victim until it destroyed her life.
You know, I think that I used to have two emotions. It was happy and angry. And I didn't really know how to handle things in life. So whenever something would bother me or hurt me, I would just say, I'm just sad right now. But really what was coming out was anger.
Yeah, well, I think sometimes we don't realize, but anger sometimes becomes a tool that we all use. I mean, think about it. Since we were children, and you throw a temper tantrum. Mm. And sometimes the parent will give them what they want. Mm-hmm. And so we learn at a very young age, when I get angry, I get what I want. Mm. And we can learn that through life. And it becomes like almost this subconscious thing where it's like, well, when I really want it, I'm going to get angry. And that use of anger, suddenly it begins, you know, we use it, but not realizing sometimes it begins to use us. Mm. And it begins to drain ourselves. I mean, anger, we may think it's a great thing, but it's so unhealthy for us.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd say it probably isn't your friend. And the answer to it that I found is self-control. And when you become a believer, we have something, a gift called self-control. And with that, I started giving my emotions to the Lord and saying, God, I don't want to be angry. Please take this from me. Because when you feed anger, it gets bigger. It's like a fire. You can feel it in your body. Mm-hmm. And when we pray and we call out to God and we repent, we turn from it, God can heal us. And the Bible says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Some people say, well, I have a right to get mad because of this and that. No, that does not produce righteousness in you. Let's hear from Dana right here after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Zen Asian Sushi and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Do you ever shop at the Northfield Stapleton Shopping Center? Consider stopping for lunch or dinner at Zen Asian Sushi. Zen Asian Sushi offers a fusion of Japanese, Thai, and Chinese cuisine, all in a brand new, clean, and family-friendly location. Check them out at zensushinorthfield.com or call them at 303-371-4644. That's zensushinorthfield.com or 303-371-4644.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Dana Joyner, and she had a lot of heartache and pain. She was filled with rage. She had been deceived, addicted to drugs. Oh. And honestly, she felt like God could never want her or even fix her. Mm. And we're going to find out how that all came about. So let's welcome to the show, Dana. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So I understand at a young age that you did believe in God and you were even praying for people and you just had this cute little relationship with the Lord. But when you moved into a bad area, it was drug infested. Things started to change. Tell me about that.
Well, when I was about 5, we moved from the Bay Area to the Central Valley. And my parents were pretty naive. They didn't understand about the neighborhood we moved to. So it was heavily infested with meth, and the kids that I played with, their parents were addicts, almost all of them. Mm. And so the kids were pretty messed up, especially the older kids. So a lot of the older kids in the neighborhood were quick to teach me things that I had no knowledge of before that. And it was things that caused a lot of shame and confusion early on in my life.
Mm. And I understand that happened between 6 and 11. You were even molested by some of the kids in the neighborhood. And you began to have night terrors. And meanwhile, your parents had no idea what was happening and they would pray for you. But at 14 years old, you started to get into drugs and alcohol. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was in church from 6 until 14. When I got old enough to kind of rebel, I rebelled all the way, like as far out there as you could go, I did. Like most parents are worried about their daughters getting pregnant or ending up with the wrong guy. My mom told me she was worried about me getting killed, killing someone, or going to prison. So she didn't have the typical worries of a mother of a teenage girl.
Mm. And you started to go further into drugs, and you actually got into your first fist fight, which led you into being a real tough kind of girl. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, because I was bullied so much from a kid that when I finally snapped one day at school, the school bully was starting in on me, and I had just had enough. My best friend had moved away. I felt lonely, and I don't know what took over me, but I literally beat up the school bully. And after that, like, that's what I became known for, because I loved the power. I loved the attention. I loved that people were scared of me now and wouldn't harass me the way that I have always been used to. It was like powerful to me. So I embraced mm-hmm. that rage.
Wow.
Until pretty soon it took over me, and I didn't just use it when I wanted it. It was who I was, and it was unstoppable.
Oh, gosh. Oh. And at 15 years old, you lost your virginity to a 21-year-old guy who was actually just trying to get as many virgin girls as he could. How did that make you feel at that time?
Well, at the time I was mad at my friend because she was kind of used to that whole scene, but I really wasn't promiscuous. I was like more like one of the guys. And so I got really drunk at this party. That's when that happened. And she was in the room with another guy, and I was yelling for her. And I remember after it was over, I just felt gross, and I felt mad at my friend. Like, I'm not like you. I don't like this. And the guy, he went on to do that to more girls. And last I heard, he was like wanted for that.
Wow.
Oh, geez.
And so in order to stay away from having sex and being with men, you decided to be the tough girl so that you can get acceptance from guys, but yet not have to be with them. So you became like this tough gangster girl who fought with the guys and fought for them. Tell me how that helped you to gain that acceptance.
Well, I just loved the attention. I loved being respected. And I never really felt all that desirable growing up with men. So I kind of just blended in and became one of them.
Mm.
And that was my way of getting attention from men. It was just a whole different angle, but it worked. And the respect and feeling honored and feeling like I had purpose, it kind of gave me something that I always wanted.
Yeah. And you actually ended up in a lot of street fights. You almost got killed several times. You put yourself in danger trying to be cool. And at 18 years old, you met a guy who God warned you about. You actually heard from God in a dream and a vision that said not to be with this man, but you went forward with it. And what happened?
It was 8 years of darkness and abuse on both sides, going deeper into the drug scene. When I got pregnant with my son, I decided, you know, I didn't want to do drugs and stuff, but as long as I wasn't in the drug scene with him, he would leave and have this double life. So when Lena, my son, got a little older, I kind of like gave up and I dove into it myself just to be part of his life. And that's how I ended up getting really bad on drugs and stuff.
Yeah. And you were into meth and pain pills, and you actually even hated being a mom, felt like you didn't even know how to love. So it was really hard for you to raise this child, but yet you had this guilt. And I think a lot of people feel that way when they're, you know, they're just kids themselves, and then they have kids, they don't know how to raise their kids, and then they feel like horrible parents, and yet they want to be good parents. And that was a real hard time for you. And you hated life, but you were afraid to die. Tell me about that.
Well, there was a situation where I almost could have died, and I had a knife out. I was going to stab my son's dad at the time for cheating again. That was something that was common, but I was fed up. And when I took out the knife and I saw his face, he was just terrified, and I felt guilty. I didn't want to kill him. So I turned the knife on myself and I stabbed myself twice in the stomach. And that was one of the times where I really felt like I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. And I was scared. And I thought at times where I'd get in people's faces that had guns or do these crazy things, I thought I wasn't scared to die. But when I really was faced with it, I was terrified. I didn't know if I belonged to God or not at that point.
Yeah.
So it was scary.
Wow. So you left that relationship, ended up in another relationship, and eventually you got your son back and you wanted to be a good mom. However, the drugs were still there. And as you were trying to look to get high one day, you finally saw hopelessness and sorrow in the eyes of these people that you were trying to hang out with. And then you realized that hopelessness and sorrow was actually you.
Yeah, like they had all the things inside of them that I had in me. And I saw it in them. And all of a sudden, everything was so just sad. And I felt so guilty about who I was and how my family felt about me. And I was just going to these friends' houses. And I realized, man, well, the same. And the Lord spoke to me and said, they don't even know the way home. You do. Like, what are you doing out here?
Wow.
And I heard him. And I got on the bus and I rode home and I was like, Lord, if you don't help me, I just want to be dead. Like, if you can help me, then please do. But if not, just let me die because I can't take this anymore.
Wow. So you had turned at that time when you went home, you said that prayer. You said, okay, God, and you gave your life to Jesus. And in that moment, your whole life would be changed to where you're serving the Lord. And little by little, the layers of anger and hate and all of these things started coming off. And it's been a process, right?
Definitely. And sometimes I fail and sometimes old things will try to come back and I just have to go before God. And I never want to think that I'm above anyone or any kind of temptation. I don't ever want to get to a place where I feel like, okay, that's done. And feel like I don't need him every day. Honestly, people like me who have come from such darkness, we need to go to God every day. It's not just living off what he showed me yesterday. It's not, okay, you fixed that years ago. It's like every day I need a new touch from him because the world, it just contaminates us daily. And there's been big deliverances where certain things will never come back in my life. And I just feel the door close. And there's other things like anger and things that happen, not dealing with people in the right way. Those things, it's like an everyday process you have to just maintain.
Mm. So would you say your life now is better than it was before, though, even though you're working and walking with God and still have these things that you're overcoming? How are things then compared to now?
So much better. There's hope. Like when I'm hurting or when I get hurt, there's a healer now. I don't have to go get high or take my rage out on someone to feel better. And like he raised me all over again like a little kid, and it was hard. And giving your life to God, it's not just a little prayer and then you go about your life. You have to really die to yourself and let him take over and show you who you're supposed to be. And at times it's so beautiful, and in times it's scary because I remember telling God, I don't want to be a square. Like, don't turn me into these ladies I see at church. They're annoying. And I would like be annoyed at the church ladies. And now I can sit in the middle of them and laugh and joke around and be just like them.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, you know, having to really let go of my identity in the streets and really cling to, okay, God, whatever you want me to be, I'll be that.
Amen. Well, there are people listening now and we're going to pray for them because they feel they are too far from God and they need hope just like you did, and they need freedom from all of these things. So thank you for sharing your powerful testimony of how the Lord brought you back home and to himself. God bless you. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
I think so many people can relate to having rage really protect them, where they get to the point where they're this sweet person, but they need that rage to protect them, but it ends up turning on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, I'm praying for someone right now who has experienced that very thing, rage turning on themselves. Lord, we surrender that rage to you, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into our lives and to bring peace and serenity in Jesus' name.
Amen. God can heal you. You're listening to Real Life.